Good evening and welcome to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm your host this evening. And we're here to continue talking about the show currently at Turn Gallery out west called Notions of Self, curated by Jody Minnis. We had Tessa Whitehead and Leisha Johnson on the show a couple of weeks ago. And tonight we're meeting two more artists on the show, Dominique Knowles. Good evening, Dominique.
Good evening, Amanda.
Hey, and Heino Schmidt. Hey, Heino.
Good evening.
Hey. So it's really good to have you both. We're still in our COVID, like doing the show, not in the studio. And actually, Dom, you're joining us from Vienna, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Dominique is a Bahamian artist. I first met Dominique, actually, not even through the art scene. But the first time I met Dominique, you were... I mean, this. I always embarrassed to say things like this because I'm always talking about how old I am. But I am old. I'm 55. And you're like, I don't know how you... But I'm definitely old enough to be your mother, if not like your grandmother. And I first met you when you were really almost, you know, I would say a young... Yeah. Not a child, yeah. But a young person. Yeah. And I met you at Camperdown, which is the stable out east. And you were a really avid rider. And I remember watching you on your horse, and you just were an incredible equestrian. But you're also a really accomplished artist, and it's interesting because the two have sort of merged. So just catch the audience up on, you know, where you are. You know, that you studied here, you showed it pop up when you were really young, very successfully. You've gone off to school in Chicago. To just tell us a little bit about what you're up to, because your career is it's really going somewhere now.
Thank you. So I'm in Vienna now. With the exhibition at Gallery Layer, which is in the first district. And there's a sculpture garden at Lichtenfels Sculpture in the castle ruins, which is like a 2-hour, 3-hour drive from Vienna. So I placed Taz's tombstone there over the weekend.
And Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's on a... Like this, it's very like Zarathustra. You have to like, and with the Sisyphus, you have to like walk up this hill, and there's many different levels, and then you get to the top on a peninsula, and you walk across the peninsula to the edge, and that's where the stone is, and it's like, like a almost 360 view of the lake with the castle.
Right. How beautiful. Yeah. Just for the audience so that they know, Taz is actually Dominique's horse. How old was Taz when he finally passed away?
23.
That's old for a horse,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They could live till like 30, but that's pretty good, decent age.
Yeah. And so you went to grad school in Chicago?
Yeah. At the School of the Art Institute of Chicago.
Art Institute of Chicago. And you've had several, I mean, you've been in several shows in Chicago, and now you're in Vienna. And again, for the audience that doesn't know, Gallery Emanuel Lyer is really one of the very top galleries in Vienna. I know you've shown at some other spaces too, and they're all like really good spaces. How are people finding your work? Are they mostly finding it through your end of year show, or curators coming to see you at SAIC? Like how is it that like you're getting so many? I mean, aside from the fact your art's amazing, because I think it's interesting for artists here to know like. You know, what's that system that's been able to expose you to so many dealers and curators that you're finding, you're being placed in all of these shows?
It started at Pop-Up when I was 17 with the group show with Toby Lund and Kendall Hanna. Mm-hmm. And that had abstract paintings. So we had this big conversation about abstraction in 2013 summer. And then I went off to film school for a year, made a few videos, and then NGB showed those videos and took them around to the Caribbean film festivals or Europe exhibitions. And 2014 summer, Heino and I worked together on a solo show in Seoul. And then I feel like I was graduate in 2017 from bachelor's, I got connected with Iceberg Projects in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Dan Berger, who was on the board of the MCA and director of Leslie Lohman Museum, and this like pioneer HIV AIDS specialist, has this museum collection, but also like a gallery Kunsthal type in his backyard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then I worked with him for a year, and then I went to grad school at SAC again. And the Green Gallery, which is run by John Rupinoff, who's an artist, offered me a show in the summer of 2019. So it was kind of the same format as what Heino and I did, with a large wall scale painting, mm-hmm. and then a couple other medium small paintings, a sculpture, and like an edition of two, and then a video. So that worked out really well, because it's still to this, like, after all these years, that show still is referred to a lot of people, or mm-hmm. like it'll be in T Magazine this summer, even
that's
though it
amazing.
Was years ago. Yeah,
yeah, it's amazing. But it's also really nice to hear that, like, the support you got home, you know, from the AGB, from Pop-Up Studios, was like instrumental in kind of getting you to the point that, you know, you were then going to grad school and everything like that. So tell the audience a little bit about your work, and, like, you know, I know when they're very, very, very often like really big canvases. And when I first saw your painting, it was very abstract. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of like, I guess I would call it like semi-figurative, because it is figurative. Right. You see figures in it. You see, like, very often horses in it, but it's also still feels very expressionistic. There's just a lot of like big, broad, you know, marks. And also when you get it, like I said, they're huge. So for the audience, really, some of them are, you really are enveloped into them. And I know in one interview you described that, like, sometimes your brushstroke is like the grooming of a horse. So so tell the audience a little bit about that kind of connection between the kind of natural world and yourself and your spirit, and kind of what you're trying to sort of communicate.
Right. Well, the main thing I'm trying to communicate now, like, also what was from the beginning, but also based on, like, people's responses, is that I don't really want there to be a hierarchy between the humans and the animals. Mm-hmm. And so I paint lots of, like, animal figures, whether they're birds or horses. And it's the figures blend in with the background, and they're also can seem like color fields from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, especially at the large scale, feel like cave paintings. And in cave
paintings, definitely.
The animals were so, like, sovereign and reverent, and the people who made them used the cave paintings to, like, catalog different species that existed. And then the floor of the caves had the bones of the animals that washed in with the river. And it was like this spiritual, I guess, cosmology in place. And some of the hallucinations could be by oxygen deprivation, or whatever ceremonies they had. So it's kind of a mixture.
But that's why I sort of can think of them as being semi-abstract, because again, you sort of see the figures in there, but like you said, they're almost like color field paintings. And again, for the audience that might not know all the art terms, you know, color field was one of the parts of abstract expressionism. And you think of, like, artists like Mark Rothko, or artists who just really kind of, like, created these, you know, basically canvases just full of color. Frank Bowling, actually, I would consider a color field artist as well, where you just kind of are drawn into the color, and you're not really, the color is communicating to you almost more than any figures, you know, mm-hmm. I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. And now that you mentioned cave painting, I see that a lot, because the colors are very earthy as well. Like, a lot of your tones are very, they appear to be colors that you could almost scrape off a stone, or you know, get off the beach.
Right, exactly. Because with colors, a lot of it is emotions or psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And the pigments that I use are like earth tones, so it's more organic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas blue was a synthetic metal color, so it has a different feel than the oranges and the reds that I like to use.
Mm-hmm.
And the paintings, like, part of it is desire, like, you draw what you desire, and also part of it is memorializing these animals. And the stones are really supports for the poems or the elegies that I write, and we just carve it into stone. So it's more like the Ten Commandments or tombstones or, you know, just monuments in general.
And I know Taz figures kind of quite prominently in your heart and in your mind and in your practice because he was such a big part of your life. Is his tombstone there in Vienna, up the top of the hill? Will it remain there, or is it a site specific for just for the show?
I would like it to be permanent. So I think I'll gift it to the sculpture park.
That's actually lovely to think that he's looking out over the castle and the lake. That's kind of beautiful.
And then across are these another hill full of pine trees. So it has this almost like amazing, serene place.
So I think it's kind of interesting that after the pandemic, to see how much nature is restoring itself. Do you feel like, I don't know, like your work seems to really speak about how man has to kind of sit small a little bit and not feel, like you said, that we have dominion over the planet. What was pandemic like for you? How was it in the States? Was that a moment of like peace for you, or was that a moment of like, because it's disturbance? It's been very interesting. I mean, not peace, but it's been interesting talking to artists about, some artists felt like, well, this is great. I have time in my studio and I don't have distractions. Other artists felt like, of course, like really just so perturbed they couldn't work. How was it for you getting through this moment?
The beginning, I just was really still. Like, you know, some people went immediately back home, either to the Caribbean or to Europe, but I just wanted to be still for a while. And I was in my final semester of grad school, so we finished that on the computer, which is good for me because I didn't have to go anywhere to get to class and worry about time. So that was interesting. And then I showed in my critiques different insult images instead of actual like paintings that I was making. So it's a way, it's like almost the Matrix for a little bit. And some like advising meetings were just reading poems to each other or writing and listening to new music and just being inspired. Then the summer it was more like the protest was happening. And in the fall, I had the exhibition at Soccer Club. So there's different
kind of busy
moments or has types.
Has it been hard for you in Chicago? Because again, your work is so. I don't see the Bahamas in it because it's not like it doesn't like have palm trees and like, you know, blue oceans, but. You know, of course, it's connected to your writing. It's connected to very much to the outdoors. And I feel like as much as Nassau is like an urban space, we're much closer to nature here. Is it difficult for you being in Chicago at all and not having that access to nature and to animals that you have more when you're at home?
Yeah, I had to, well, after the first 2 years being downtown, I had to move to like a neighborhood 30 minutes or 45 an hour from school, depending on your mode of transport, where it's just surrounded by trees and it's a bit more like Brooklyn. Compared to Manhattan, so I needed that because you hear the birds sing in the morning, and that's the most you get. And then at school, it was always in the lake, so I always had conversations with people about how where the horizon was artificial, whereas in the Bahamas, it's a real horizon that
that's true. That
people's relationship to place.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. Okay, well, thanks so much, Dawn. We're going to go to a quick break, and actually, it's a great place. It's a great place to go to a quick break. So you just mentioned the horizon, and that's one of Heino's most famous works that we've showed at NAGB a couple of times. So we're here tonight talking to the two other artists in the show, Notions of Self, at the Turn Gallery out west, which, full disclosure, is where I work. And it's a show with four artists. from the Caribbean. I'm really speaking about ideas of self and self-portraiture or portraiture. And we had Tessa Whitehead and Leisha Johnson a couple of weeks ago. And tonight we're speaking with Dominique Knowles and Heino Schmidt. We're going to a quick break. We'll hear from Heino after the break, and then we'll continue to talk more about notions of self. You're listening to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm your host, Amanda Coulson, and we're going to be right back. Stay tuned to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio.